everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's January 13th regular Othello City Council meeting. Did all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and wisdom for the City Council as we make our decisions tonight. And now if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Item 1D is our roll call, and absent tonight is Angel Garza, but he had notified me that he was going to be out of town. I'd entertain a motion to excuse Councilman Garza.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We'll move to item 1B, which is our citizen input. Do we have any citizen input tonight? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move to the approval of our agenda tonight.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And we'll move to the consent agenda.
I'll make the motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And now we'll move to our current business. And the first item on our agenda is the 504A update to public records policy. And our City Clerk, Tanya Morelos, has a staff report and recommendation.
Good evening, Council. Tonight before you is a proposed updated public records policy. Our policy was last updated July of 2017. Since then, personnel in both the clerk and the police department have changed, so we had to update contact information. Currently, when people submit records requests via email, they're asked to send it to a personal work email, and that could be an issue in case that either the clerk or the administrative assistant in the police department are gone. So to correct this we plan to have IT, the IT director, create a group email. So for example, for my department, it would be records@othellowaw.gov. It'll include myself, deputy city clerk, and the administrative assistant to the mayor. In case I'm gone, they can respond within that 5-day window, so we're not at risk at possibly missing a records request. It'll be the same for the police department. It'll include the administrative assistant, chief, and assistant chief. Aside from that, public records laws are rapidly changing, so this updated policy will present and utilize the most current information. We had our city attorney, with recommendations of the state attorney general's office, review the policy. So with that, staff recommends approval of this policy. Does council have questions for me?
Council? Any questions for Tanya? Okay. With that, I'd entertain a motion to approve this updated policy, public records policy.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Okay, made by John, seconded by Maria. John Erickson, yeah. Okay, any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Let's go next to item 4B, which is the general city funding assistance for 2020 and income survey for funding application for city engineer Sean O'Brien is going to give a report and a recommendation to the council.
So, Mayor, Council, what you have before you is an amendment to Varela's agreement for consulting services. We've worked with them in the past, as you know, but we've wanted to make sure that any work we do in the future is actually under contract and kind of agreed to before we direct them to do work. So what this one summarizes, the main item is the city of Othello no longer qualifies for community development block grants because our low to moderate income, by their numbers, has dropped below the percentage that they require to be eligible for their grants. but their numbers are often, they're estimated. So currently, we have a $750,000 grant through CDBG that's going towards our standpipe project. We've talked with Varela and thought it would be good to go ahead and do it, salary or an income survey to see if we can still qualify that for that, for those grants here in the future by doing this. So they've put together an amendment which covers the cost to work with Eastern Regional, or no, sorry, Evergreen Rural Water and up Washington to do a salary survey. That being about a little over $9,000 for Erwow to do their work, actually 9224. And then in Varela's estimates, they would have about just under, right at $3,880 is the estimated amount of work. That is really the only thing that we've committed to them doing for us right now, but they did provide some cost estimates for doing some project research and possibly applications if we find projects that we would want to apply for under with both CDBG, with WashDOT, TIB, Department of Ecology, and some other, any other funding sources that pop up. So this just allows us some flexibility if staff can't put together these applications and the time frame that need to be submitted with these different funding agencies. We can rely on them, plus they specialize in this. They do it for several other cities, kind of have the process down and know what to say and how to say it and how to make it look like a presentable project. So if you have any questions, I can attempt to answer anything you have.
Council?
I just got one. So we did this income survey about 2 years ago?
I don't think we've done it. Well, I'm not sure. I don't believe Othello has done it in the past because their numbers had us above the 51%, eligible.
We did do one. I think it was 2 years ago, two or 3 years ago. Nobody remembers?
I remember they mailed out some stuff, I'm not sure that it was a valid survey.
They did. Well, we paid for it.
That doesn't mean that it was a valid survey.
I just don't know what was going on with that. I mean, we've already paid for one.
They're only good for 3 years.
So that...
It was 3 years ago.
So that's what's triggered this...
Well,
who said we're not eligible?
CDBG.
Okay, CDBG.
On their records, we're no longer eligible. And when I was at Moses Lake, there was a period where they said Moses Lake, you no longer had income, you know, your income percentage has dropped down below that because your community is doing
when you go through and do
better.
Their grants, there's a table in there that gives basically every city in the state what their percentage is. And if you're not within their estimations,
okay,
then
understandable, but how do they get the information about what your average income is?
What's used for the survey?
In the agenda memo, it says it's from the census data.
The census, which is kind of incomplete information. I mean, it depends on who's responding to it. So
if we want to prove that we are still qualified, then we have to do this survey.
Yes.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And basically, the plan is we'd get a much more thorough survey. It will be going, sending out a mailer. The people that don't respond, they will actually go out and do a door-to-door, you know, knock on the doors and try to get information on that. And generally, your lower income have a smaller reply rate or response rate. So you can often get,
yeah, and that's
how it's been explained to me, you often get better percentages when you do the more thorough.
That's probably what happened before is they sent out a survey and
because I think they just sent out a postcard or something like that.
It was a regular survey.
Yeah.
It was. I do remember it now because I remember Wade telling me he didn't do the survey because he made too much money. He didn't want to put.
And they sent out. I know they sent it out three times. for people that didn't.
But I think they had to get, didn't they have to get so many to reply, and we had a hard time getting people to reply?
So will they take our survey instead of the census to say, hey, this is inaccurate, this is really?
Yeah, I believe, I mean, that's what Evergreen Rural does, these surveys, and so that would be the whole point to do it, is make sure we're following their rules.
So we go and apply for the grant money, we bring our certificate with us that says, yes, we qualify.
Yes, I mean, that's the hope. I mean, we could do the survey and it could come back and say, no, survey data that they have is correct, or we may still be under that. I think it's 51%.
When is the review period with CBDG to requalify for their grants? Next year, or will we go in for an instant review once our survey was complete and then?
I'm not positive on that. I just know when you do the survey, the talk has been it's eligible for 3 years. It's valid for 3 years. So.
Well, the survey is valid for 3 years, but I think CDBG only has one application period per year in the fall.
No, it's June 1.
Is it June?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you can apply anytime for the planning onlys, but.
So would we make the deadline through?
Okay, so I've been in discussions with Anna from Varela, and the plan would be, because I'm going to have, if the council does approve this amendment, then I'm going to have a conference call with Tracy at Erwow tomorrow morning at 9:30, and we're going to get started on the process. Hopefully we'll have it complete by the end of March. Once we have that complete, they're a consultant, so they're an independent third party, and so CDBG will accept that, and that is in time for us to apply this year for the June 1 deadline. But the CDBG grant in the past has been written by Anna for the city, and so that's where it's at.
So it's just a matter of getting the survey done and then basically resubmitting the grant that we
now have. I will say this to the council. We haven't isolated or identified a particular project that we want to apply for grant money. But I'm reasonably certain we can find something that we could use $750,000 for. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
So so through this process and with the council, we would identify a project that we want to fund and that is fundable through CDBG. And typically, it's mostly things they're funding now are infrastructure projects, mm-hmm. which we have plenty of. There are other things that they fund, but they're so far, you know, like they'll do, like they would do street lighting. But it's so far on their down on their priority list that we probably wouldn't get any grant money for that. So that's just, you know, additional information for the council.
This would be good for 3 years or what?
Yes, 3 years.
3 years. It might be worth, like, working it into the budget if every 3 years. If mm-hmm.
No, I have a question, and I'll probably
see. Is anybody else?
I'm not quite sure. I'm trying to read this. In the memo, it says an estimated budget of $17,830 proposed for the funding assistance work, which can be seen broken down. And then when you go to the breakdown, it totals $27,000. $33.
So, yeah, so if you go to the second page, the $17,830 is the amendment to Varela's contract.
And then it reads into this.
Then Evergreen Rural would do the actual income survey. So,
plus the nine?
Yes.
Then what's the 11?
That would have been the original price, but they're giving us a discount. Right?
Yes.
Because, yeah.
To make it 9,200?
Yes.
We're an Erwow member.
Maybe, yeah. Okay. Maybe what I'm getting out of the question is this agenda item to approve just the amendment to Varela's contract or to approve that and accept Erwow's pricing?
Well, the The motion would be to approve the VRELA agreement, attach funding assistance documentation, and to authorize the IRWOW to perform the income survey. So they are asking for the full $27,000 to do VRELA's amendments and the IRWOW work.
Okay.
We just don't have an ongoing contract with them.
And Spencer, we had, you wanted to talk about the funding source?
He's got it broke up through a bunch of the funds. No on that.
Probably because it could be used for grants for any of these.
The question that I just had, that I think might have been Councilman Erickson's question, is the IRWOW $9,000 included in this? So there's $27,000 is for IRWOW and IRWOW.
Correct.
Good.
I just say, I think you're $20 off on the income survey. Instead of 2204, it's 20, or 9204, it's 9224.
Okay.
So that would.
So all in, we're at 27033.
Well, add $20 to that. I was just pointing out that this item right here, 9204 is actually 9224.
24.
So that's how we get the 27054 for the metal.
Gotcha.
This is just a brief breakdown. Some of the projects with an income survey that would benefit our application across all the projects. So we can split that cost over. Some of the Burrell's assistance with WSDOT funding, that's just street, and B, that's just street. These items, this was just going to be water. So we have underwater and sewer, 9,000 and 5,000, and then street. This is that full budget sheet that we were looking at. We were planning out our whole budget that shows our available dollars. If we add all of our red zone items in, what do we have after all those red zone items are funded? Down here, there's the street fund that has 12,700 available. The water and sewer are fine with their piece, 9,000 and 5,500. The street fund had 12,300. That's almost exactly what we have left in our street fund. We have 12,700. So now we have that.
Okay. Any further questions? Council?
Make a motion to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And we'll continue on with the Lions, which is item 4C, Lions awarding of the Lions Park Infield's renovation project.
Okay. So, Mayor, Council, on Wednesday last week, we had a bid opening for the Lions Park Infield renovation project. We received 10 bids. This project included a base bid, which was to place 4 inches of this infield material, infield mix. That's a pumice product that is used in a lot of ball field installations. It drains well, stays firm. So when you have a rainstorm, it you can play on it much quicker than the current field that we have. And it also holds on, retains that water, and doesn't get dusty. It's not a dusty product. So there's quite a few benefits that it'll bring to these fields. It'll make them look sharp. We're going to regrade everything. And so the architect who did put together the project gave an option to put 6 inches of material in. Talking to the material supplier, he said 4 inches is plenty, and that they've done, you know, they felt that would be everything that we need. So my recommendation, this is being covered by an RCO grant, a recreational and conservation grant, which is covering about 75% of the project. So if you get down to budget, if we go with the base bid, it'll be about $73,000 of city funds will go towards this project. If we go with the 6-inch option, it'll be about $97,000. My recommendation is to go with the 4-inch material. And with the RCO grant, there is actually, they, talking with them, because we are quite a bit under what the engineer, the architect estimated, they would prefer that we find other things to do with the material or with the money. And we've been coming up with a list of things as far as crack sealing the asphalt that's between the fields. We can slurry seal it so it'll rejuvenate the asphalt material and make it look real sharp. You know, the fields will be looking real good, and then just bring a whole, I think it would make the whole facility look pretty new if we do a slurry seal on the asphalt. And then there's some other items that we can explore. But the additional benefit of putting 2 more inches of the special material, which costs about $100 a yard to purchase and get it shipped here, I think kind of has a diminishing benefit. So we've got some other options that we can look to do to, if we really think we need 6 inch material, going in with a concrete sand is commonly done to improve the drainage and increase the depth without having the more expensive material. So if you have any questions, I can answer anything you have.
You did say that the architect recommends just going with the 4 inches, that the 6 inches isn't needed.
The architect said that he often puts in he always puts in 6 inches, but with budget wise, he didn't know if we could cover the 6 inches. So we had a 4-inch base bid and a 6-inch option.
I was
talking to the supplier. They're out of Bliss, Idaho. So about a couple hours past Boise is where this material will be coming from. Talking to them, they said 4 inches is plenty. You know, it's when you try to get a buy with 2 inches that you start running into some problems and not, you know, getting a good depth in there. But when the material supplier is saying 4 inches is plenty, and having this material shipped all the way from about 500 miles away, 475 miles away or so, I think we can get the benefits of this material and without going down the full 6 inches.
And do you feel that the $100,000 savings is worth just going with the 4-inch, that we should be able to handle it?
Yes, and we've talked to the contractor. The architect has talked about that even when they do 6 inches, sometimes he's went and put a layer of coarse sand underneath there, which still drains just fine. And at that point, you're not, it's not on the surface. The benefits of having this material on the surface, you aren't getting that when it's down 6 inches. So if we really think we need the drainage, we can go with concrete sand type of material that's crushed rock that will still provide that drainage and storage down there before it gets into our existing soils, and without paying the premium price.
Yeah, I only ask because $100,000 can get a lot more projects done through those awesome ball fields, making better for the youth.
Yeah, and then we'll have to run any proposals that we have by the RCO grant manager.
Is there a deadline on that?
What's that?
Is there a deadline on that?
We have till September 30th.
Oh, okay. So it's not dictated on the date that this contract would go into place. It would be a calendar date then.
Yeah, when we applied for the grant, they had a deadline on it, which may be adjustable, but our preference would be to get this project completed, get the fields ready to go before the softball Little League season starts up, and then get the benefits of it this summer. And the other items we can would be not as major of a project. I mean, the fields will be out of service for probably 2 to 3 weeks at the minimum.
So what's the difference in the contract and how much money we have? What's the money amount?
The grant is, we have $347,000, and that's, but we have to match it with 25%. So it's about $463,000 is the total grant amount, or the total project amount that the grant would cover up to. But we have had architect put together plans and specs. There was a cultural resource survey that was completed for about $6,000. The contract does not include having any surplus material, so we're going to purchase whatever material fills up a 60-yard truck is what they're coming up in. And so we want to have some material, because if you ever have low spots, you can go in and fill in it with material or wet spots and stuff like that. They recommend having some, but they did not write that into the contract. So estimating probably about 30 yards of material, that's a half a truckload, so plus or minus from that. At $100 a yard, we've got $3,000 there. And then we have our engineering inspection tie into the project.
Roughly $150,000.
Roughly, well, probably less than that. We probably have about $85,000-$90,000, I think, to play with. We still need to put together the numbers. It's been we've been finding out things all day.
I think for the benefit of the council, RCO is saying, that's the grant agency at the state, they're saying we should spend all the money. And when you think about the improvements that we're doing, up to the maximum of $347,000, we do have to match at 25%. But if the state is going to pay $3 out of every $4 on a project, we really should spend all the money. And we've talked about different things that we can do. We're going to try and remain as flexible as we can to do as much as we can, but our improvements are limited to the ball field because that's what the grant was for. So
can we do like walk paths, like from Hamlet to the middle of the ball field?
From the opposite side.
It goes between the ball fields.
Yeah. So from.
Oh yeah, that north part.
You have to walk across the grass.
And also from 7th to the middle of the ball fields.
So that goes right. That would go right across the soccer fields, though.
I think it's on.
I think it's in between.
The north one wouldn't. I don't even know whether the west one would. That's quite. Oh, we'll ask that question with them.
That'd be kind of nice to get that then.
Yeah, some shade
coming into the ball field.
I always wonder why the city never did that.
Some shade cloth over the top of the bleacher areas.
Yeah. I was even thinking of a foul ball net.
It would serve the same purpose, whether it's a net or if we go with the full screen.
Yeah.
I mean, so those are items that we have to submit and ask them, first of all, get some pricing and come up with a list of items that. Improvements that we would think would be the
qualified,
best things,
if it qualified,
and then see which one qualifies and see what we can squeeze out of the dollar amount.
Yeah.
So
I'll make.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, because people cook out there.
Yeah, that's an awesome idea.
So I'll make a motion to award Lions Park infield renovation projects to Top Cut Construction. That's what it says, Top Cut Construction, in the amount of $292,000.
Yeah, that's, he seconded it.
I seconded it.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
So, Sean, that's your recommendation to go with the Schedule A?
Correct.
Okay. Any further discussion?
One last question that doesn't really kind of hinder the motion of the second, but just out of curiosity, is that going to delay the season at all, this project? Or is the season going to start in the March, April that it typically does?
Right now, the contractor is ready to go. By awarding it tonight, days would start on February 3rd. And if he completes paperwork in a quick manner, they can probably even start about a week earlier than that. So it's going to be contingent upon weather. The first step is to just be peeling up the existing material, which, unless we're frozen solid, we'll be able to get that completed. Hauling in the material, we're looking at about 12 truckloads, 60 yards a truckload. Well, that's 12, at the 4 inches, we're looking at about 12 truckloads. they say they can get them here as quick because they've got the fields prepared. So the project has 50 working days, but as far as the field work, they're going to be taking out some sod, reshaping, and then laying sod back down. Sod will probably be the one thing that has to wait for the weather to kick in, and then we probably want to let that get established a little bit. But the goal is to be up and running before the season starts.
Okay. Any other questions or discussion? All those in favor of awarding the contract on Schedule A to Top Cut Construction, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And then Sean's going to continue with his engineering department project update under unfinished business.
Okay, so I gave everybody kind of a summary of what I'm going to go over. If any projects you have questions with, go ahead and we can address them before we move on to the next one. And I'll try to make it quick so we can get through them. If you want more detail, we can always expand on it. But the Well 10 drilling project, the casing has, they have got to the point where the casing is grouted in and set, and they're drilling. They're down to about 420 feet deep, and to the point where we should just have regular old drilling going on, and they should start having some productive days. They have found, this has been a very frustrating job. They have found just about every way to delay things, and just bad luck and bad equipment or equipment failures and everything. But there's no reason they shouldn't be able to drill 100 feet a day, which we're gonna go down between 900 and 1,000 feet is the anticipated depth. So we are continuing to hit them with like a day of damages, and they have not complained about it because they understand they have not, this has not been a good project for them. Standpipe number four, that project has been, everything's been cut down and compacted. It's ready for the T. Bailey, who's the prime contractor's crew, to come in and start forming the foundation, doing the rebar and all that work. That crew is anticipated coming to town in early February, and they should knock that out within 2 or 3 weeks. And then the steel, they have it at their site. They're getting it rolled and getting it prepped. That'll start showing up on site in early March, and they'll start erecting the tank.
I have a question on back on Well 10. Is there a cap on the liquidated damages in their contract, or does that fall more
nope,
toward the
Nope, there's no cap on it until we just terminate the project due to...
And what's that clause? I mean, after so long in liquidated damages, when can the city go into default and start to recapture some of that?
Well, we are collecting that money. It was that $12,000 was held from their last pay estimate.
How long are they allowed to stay in that liquidated damage stage?
It just keeps accruing each day, each working day that they're not in there. They are capable of doing the work, but they've had things fall down the hole. They've had equipment break. Their drilling methods, their drill bits have failed. But it's...
So the city's stance at this point is no confidence in the contractor. It's more so just let them pay their dues and get the job done.
Yeah, they're putting out a good product. They've went above and beyond as far as testing it for straightness that is required at the end of the project. They've tested it three times, I think, already, at least twice. There's no problems with quality of the work. It's been going slow, and it's been, you know, an air compressor goes down, the size of these, they couldn't find a replacement. They couldn't find a rental. It's been interesting. They've dropped a short-handled sledgehammer down the hole, spent a couple weeks getting that out. They trimming pipe when they were getting ready to grout broke off. They spent about 3 weeks getting that out.
Batteries storing two different
things. They've been robbed a couple times on periods when they're gone.
That's their own fault. Sorry. I've been by there numerous times and their gates are wide open, their equipment's there, nobody's around.
I think every time they've been robbed, it's been buttoned up, but they...
Then they're not learning.
So it hasn't happened lately. None of it happened until after the original project due date or completion date passed. So they would have been in and out in the time warranted. They would have not had any of those problems.
So maybe when we go to build our pump house, we look at security?
We won't leave thousands of dollars worth of equipment just right there on the other side.
No, but we will have thousands of dollars worth of equipment in a pump house.
In the pump house, but security would be good. Once we have power there, cameras would probably be a good thing. I'm guessing this may be, it will be, we'll have it fenced and graveled is the plan. And but having some kind of security cameras up there would probably be a good idea.
I'm thinking more of a high fence with cantina wire and...
We'll have 6-foot tall fence with barbed wire on top, but anything can be cut through. So, any other questions?
No.
Sure. So, well 3R, that's a project, the well pumped this summer, and then the plan was this winter to actually put water down the hole, measure the effects. And that has been going on since December 28th. They're putting about 600 gallons a minute in there, and it's going to continue as until water department says it's taxing the system. So currently well 6 hasn't had any extended run times, and it hasn't been cycling very often. So everything's been good there. So projects that are on the docket coming up, we're going to be doing a smoke testing project. This one, we should be getting contracts back from the contractor here pretty soon, and then contingent upon weather, they'll jump right into it. This is going to test about not quite half our city's sewer system, all the lines between Broadway and 7th Avenue we smoke tested. It'll give us indications of there are drains, whether they're, you know, house drains, roof drains, parking lot drains, if there's groundwater connections tied into our sewer system, anything that doesn't have a gooseneck, smoke will be coming out in places where people don't want it to be coming out of. If the houses are properly vented, it'll come out their house vents, but not in their house. We will be working with the fire department, police department, and the contractor is required to put out a notice, but we are looking for connections to our sewer system that we don't want. Othello has a very high flow per capita. We're kind of off the charts, and we need to try to reduce those because we have a treatment plant project in our near future, 5 to 10 years from now, and every gallon it's going to cost for to build that plant. So hopefully we can find something. Any questions?
You're looking for infiltration, right? Well, cross-contamination,
it probably won't,
and
infiltration.
Connections.
It won't find too much infiltration, because if that's stuff coming into joints, it's not going to smoke there.
You can sometimes see it come up through the ground.
If you have a major break, it'll come up to the ground. But it'll mostly
drive down the street and there's smoke going everywhere.
It
happens.
It could happen, but can't find any records where this has ever been done.
See smoke coming out of people's gutters.
If it comes out of the gutters, that's a problem. It should be coming out of the house vents, where because your house should be vented so that sewer gases escape.
Probably going to have to be a... on-call dispatchers for when that goes down.
The homeowners will get a notice, and they'll have my number to contact me, the building official, if we have leaks, you know, smoke coming out in places.
No.
Building official will be notified of all the incorrect plumbing that it identifies. The hope is that we don't find anything, that our system is built properly. The other hope is we do find things so that we can, if it can reduce the amount of flow going into our sewer system, that'll pay benefits for a long time.
I hope you do, because I think the city has invested quite a bit of money just last year for Corolla to do an INI study, and that came up in conclusive. So yeah. I hope you do find something.
And so this work was about $22,000. We can go up to $45,000 on a quote project. If it shows a lot of benefits in that first area, we'll continue doing more of the town until we probably focus on commercial areas where we think we might find a parking lot drain tied into it, or who knows what. So in any case, Lion Parks renovation, we've already kind of discussed that project, but if everything goes good, we'll be starting that at the beginning of February and possibly even completed by the end of February. This year we're doing another crack seal project. This is going to focus on the north side of town, but also pick up Broadway and Main Street, so those streets are taken care of. We are going to do a sewer cleaning project, and this will go through. Public Works has cleaned sewer lines, but haven't really kept good records of when the last time those lines were cleaned. They have some TV videos of those sections, but just nothing complete and not on digital where we can take this and eventually tie it to our GIS maps so that you can pull up and look at videos. From this, we'll get information that we need for future sewer lining projects, focus on the lines that have infiltration. Sewer lining will eliminate a lot of that. This will give us a good inventory of our sewer system and hopefully give us some tools to reduce the flow going to the treatment plant. Main Street Safety Project is a project that we got a federal grant for. That's going to be putting in two pedestrian signals on Main Street. Design is being worked on that. We have a meeting with the contractor or the consultant tomorrow, talking about electrical. We should have 60% plans by the end of this week. And I think that was April 6th was the their estimate of when we'll be able to put this project out to bid or have plans ready for bid. So Ash Street is a Safe Routes to School grant that we got. That's going to be putting in completing sidewalk, the section of sidewalk that's missing, plus I think 30 bulb outs along Ash Street, and then a couple on 7th and a couple on Oak Street. And so that grant will hopefully be ready to go. We have to turn this information into the state to get the design money obligated, which then we can work on design. So we've actually kind of laid out a lot of that already. The hope would be to have that project completed during the summer when school is out and we have much less kids walking around to put footprints and initials and everything else into the concrete.
I had a quick question. The sewer cleaning project, is that going to take place before the sewer smoke testing?
No, smoke testing will happen first, and the sewer cleaning is going to be a 5-month project potentially. They can do anywhere from 1,000 to a couple thousand feet a day. This is going to be up to 150,000 feet of pipe. So, okay.
Yeah, I was just curious if that would have any effect.
The smoke test, they plan to knock out 10,000 feet a day and have this project completed in 6 days. And so, and if weather permits, they'll potentially start it here in 2 or 3 weeks. So.
And there's no major impact by not having a cleaning done on the potential results?
Nope.
In that area where you're going to need the smoke testing?
Yeah, no, the smoke will flow down the lines and look for ways out and all that.
About the only way it would affect it is if there was a complete plug in the sewer line, and if there's a complete plug in the sewer line, we're going to start getting complaints.
We got different problems.
Anyway. Yeah.
We got different problems. Fair enough.
So what's the charge on that project?
The Well 10 pump house project, Varela has done the design on it. It's 95% complete. They're just waiting for, all the plumbing, everything's set. It's just a matter of what horsepower pump, what's the depth, and what's the GPM we're going to get out of it. But we have a 12-inch main leaving it, and everything's sized so that it can handle a 1,500-gallon well, which we're still hoping for. And as long as we get 1,000, I think we'll be happy with the well. Transmission mains in the same lines. Those will be bid out as two separate projects, but I don't know if Rel's actually started. We haven't seen preliminary designs on that water main project, but that'll be pretty simple. Have not found a whole lot of traffic count information here at Moses Lake or at Othello. It is something that developers often will ask for. We've been doing some traffic studies with Sandhill Estates development, with McCain, and a lot of the things they ask for is, do you have any existing traffic count data? Quadco, just this last year, we purchased 14 traffic counters. They're radar ones that you can actually mount on a pole and do the traffic counts, and they provide a lot more information. Speeds and average speeds, top speeds, counts per, I think, every 15 minutes if you want them. So we're going to get all 14 of those and put them to use here in the next couple of weeks and try to get as many traffic counts as we can, just to establish some baselines, and we can do that annually then those are currently stored in Moses Lake, so we'll grab them from them one of these mornings and put them to use. And then we got a grant through Quadco to do a stop sign study, kind of set up the criteria for when they should be installed, and also look at the existing usage that we have with them, so we have a consistent usage, so that's providing consistent use throughout the city. I think we have a lot more stop signs than we should have, and a lot of uncontrolled intersections that, or a lot of intersections that should be uncontrolled that have stop signs, and I think that's led to some of the traffic crash data we have. Othello has a really high failure to yield crashes, or crashes that are due to someone failing to yield, and that might just be because, you know, one intersection you have to stop, next intersection the side traffic has to stop, and it isn't a real consistent application of stop signs. So those are all the things that we control and I'm getting myself into. The other projects, developer projects, Sagestone 8 is pretty much wrapping up. We got the final punch list item checked off today. So the next step is for them to get their maintenance bond in place. And after that, they can get the construction improvements approved by council and the plat approved and get that recorded. Columbia Street improvements, that project has been built. We got a couple of issues that working out, and then we'll get the punch list going off. One main issue is being worked out, and then we'll get a punch list out to them, and that project should be wrapped up pretty quick and be able to be accepted. It's been a long time in the making. Sand Hill Estates, Angels Development, they have construction plans that have been approved. We just talked about scheduling the pre-construction meeting on January 22nd, and I think they're talking about wanting to start up work in early March, and that'll be 64 lots, one block running parallel with Olympia Street, next one out to the field. Scootney Street, that's a extension of the road between the Othello School District property. I think it's drawing a blank on the school's name.
Wahidas.
Wahidas. And CBHA, that'll extend that road through there and storm drainage and get sewer line, or no, no sewer line, the water main's already in, so it's just storm water that has to be put in there. And but they've got approved design for construction plans for that. And then McCain has submitted plans. They've got some on-site sewer lines about 1500 feet that Public Works will be looking at, will be inspecting the work that's done in the right of way, but then the on-site stuff we look just to make sure it's installed to city standards and we don't have any infiltration and stuff like that in it.
Oh, we were planning on putting all our storm water in there.
That's also why we would inspect it, to make sure we don't get that. Or we'll smoke test it.
Yeah. We'll wait for you to smoke test first and then we'll do our connections.
So that kind of sums up everything. We'll have a pretty busy spring and we'll hit the ground running.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, Sean.
Is there any other unfinished business to come before us tonight? Item 6 then is our new business. Before I go to 6A, I was just going to ask, is there any new business, council, that you guys want to bring up?
I was asked a couple questions over the last couple weeks, and one that kind of stood out to me was the roadways behind some of the businesses, or alleyways, I'm sorry, I should. One, the number one being, there were several that were brought up, but the most consistent that was brought up to me was the one at the post office drop-off. And I haven't dropped anything off at the post office in years, and so I figured after getting takeout one evening, I'd take a right instead of a left, and if it'll chatter your teeth. And so I don't know if it's new business or if it's something that's in the general plan, so I kind of hesitated to bring it up, but it was brought up, and as a new councilman, I guess maybe all of you would appreciate that you get a ton of phone calls. And so I just thought I would bring that up, that if that was in...
It's not in our budget.
Not in our budget.
Not this year.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that the city council couldn't prioritize.
I think Public Works does maintenance on it. They do the filling of the holes that get created. That thing's been like that for 25 years.
Yeah, and I can't speak to the length of
that. It just needs to be removed and resurfaced. They just need to make a new base for it, because it just...
Is that even a city alley?
Yeah, I was going to say, the question would be, is that the city's job to do, or is it the business owners that around that?
Well...
That have to maintain it?
And that was my major question.
Because it depends on...
If it is a city owner?
Yeah.
City property.
City right-of-way.
You know, actually, somebody did something up to the drop-off for the post office. Somebody did something up to that point, and then from there on, you know, it would probably be the businesses, you know, the Chinese restaurant and Johnny Mercer's old building there to complete that, you know, to the 7th.
Yeah, well, you'd probably have to go back and look and see.
But it's never had a good base. It just needs to be ripped all the way down and built back up, and because it's just always been chucked full of holes. You fill one, another one comes up.
I still think you could do part of it with, we have $55,000 in the budget for alleyways approaches.
Yeah, if we've got all the approaches done.
You could do a portion.
A really long approach.
Well, we're not making them long enough anyway.
Yeah.
I agree. I think you're right.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'll, with Sean O'Brien and Terry, I'll look into maybe some things that we could do. I've had people complain too. It's just, we've never prioritized this on as a council since I've been here.
See, my experience is, I mean, a right-of-way is an alleyway is still dedicated right-of-way, and it's the city's to maintain. I know I've talked with Terry, and he said, well, once they pave them, then it's the property owners to maintain it. I don't quite know what that's based on.
Can you find that out for sure?
It could be that it was abandoned, and if that's the case, then maybe it's the property owners, but...
Yeah.
Can we find that out for sure, Sean?
I'm not sure where it comes from. My thought is, it's right-of-way, it's dedicated to the city.
Okay.
And whether, if it's a gravel road or a gravel alley, that's the city maintains that. If it gets upgraded, if the property owner provides a paved alleyway or a paved road, then
I want to say, as somebody that used to work for Public Works, I want to say that in the back of my mind, and it's been a long time, but in the back of my mind, I want to say that I was at least told that that was not ours. But I don't know.
Are you talking about that alley specifically, that it was vacated? Okay, well, I couldn't...
Yeah, the council's never prioritized this, so if you guys want to make this a priority, we'll check into it. Okay.
At the very least, we can start planning.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if it is the city's, then their complaints are justified against us as a city.
Okay. Is there any other new business? I had one item here, and that is the question I want to pose to the council. When Councilman Eugene Bain was on the council, he worked in the Tri-Cities, and we couldn't schedule city council meetings before 6:30 because it took him an hour to drive from the Tri-Cities. Now that Councilman Bain is no longer on the council, does the council want to move the meetings from 6:30 to 6 p.m.?
Our meetings were always at 7. We've moved them to 6:30. I sometimes don't get out of the office until later. I don't really want to move them any earlier.
So that's a no for you. Anybody else?
Wouldn't make any difference to me.
You wouldn't mind going to six?
I'd like to go to six, but if Jeannie can't make it.
I'm fine either way. The only problem that would pose, and I can make accommodations, would be if we moved it earlier during the coaching season, the spring sports that I coach. But I could rearrange my schedules around with things like that. But I'm amenable both ways. I signed up for 4 years here, so I'll make it work.
Thank you. Mark?
I would like six, but 6:30 is not bad.
Say it again, Gina.
Sometimes I'm at the office until later because Chris gets emergencies, and we for years and years were at 7 o'clock. I get that we wanted to move it earlier, but six may be pushing it for some people.
Sounds like for you, anyway. Well, I don't want to not accommodate somebody, and we did, in fairness, we did accommodate Councilman Bain because of his work schedule. So I thought I'd bring the question up to see if council was anxious or would like to meet earlier. 6:30, 7 o'clock, sometimes there's a difficulty to run home from work, shove down your dinner, and then be here by 6 o'clock or 6:30. And if we had our meetings at 6, there's just a question I wanted to pose. So certainly want to accommodate you, Gina. And as long as there's no other objection with the rest of the council, we'll just leave it at the same. Okay. Is there any other new business then?
Did that email that I got CC'd on, did that get taken care of? Did that business and a meeting with you and Anne and
Dr. Bunch?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we took care of that.
Okay. Yep. About the problem, you know, like getting the solution.
Yeah. Well, item 7 is there is no department head report, so having no further business to come before the council, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:29 p.m.